We are in a series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we took a little break last Sunday by intervention of the Holy Spirit. I want you to write this title down. This is session number 7, and there's a total of 8 sessions. So we've got this one this morning, and then we've got one more. And the subtitle to this particular segment is Developing the Gifts, or another way to put that is Practice the Miraculous. I kind of like that a little bit better, a little catchy. Developing the Gifts, we've been teaching, and if you've just joined us, all the tapes are in the foyer if you'd like to consider those. But we've taught on the speaking gifts, we've taught on the revelation gifts, we've taught on the power gifts. And I want to take it a little bit further and talk about how you begin to develop, that is, cultivate these more in your life. There was a time in my life where I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and had a release of my prayer language, but you know, you can let that kind of die down in your life because you don't use it. It's like the old saying, don't use it, you're going to lose it. And if you know about muscles, if anybody's ever had a cast on their arm or their leg, there's a time where that muscle actually grows smaller because of a lack of use, and it takes time to build that muscle up. The gifts of the Holy Spirit can be just like that. If you let them die down in your life, they need to be reactivated or stirred up. Everyone say practice. Everybody say practice. The miraculous. One more time. Practice. The miraculous. All right, let's look at this by way of review. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit. Now remember, if you're a Christian, I don't care what flavor you are. Baskin-Robbins, well, they used to have, 31? Now they got more than that, 110,000, flavors. Methodist, Baptist, Roman Catholic, if you're a genuine, born-again Christian, regardless of your background, guess what? You have the Holy Spirit in you. Somebody say amen. If you want a verse for that, we'll not turn there, but jot it down. John 14, verse 17 clearly says, the Holy Spirit shall be in you. So once you have faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit is no longer merely with you. He's now in you. Now that He's in you, He wants to manifest. Look at verse 7 again. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit all. Now let me ask you a question. This is a no-brainer. Don't be nervous. This is not a trick question. If the Holy Spirit is in you, and He is if you're a Christian, and He would like to manifest, that is, come out, express Himself, do something, what would He probably want to do? Well, let me give you a little hint here. He probably would want to say something. So there's a category called the speaking gifts. We've covered those. So if the Holy Spirit desires to manifest, when He manifests, He's going to want to do one area He's going to do. He's going to want to speak something. Why would He want to speak something? How many of you ever had somebody say something encouraging to you? So when you're in your job or when you're in your neighborhood or whatever, and somebody comes up and they just start talking, instead of just relying on little cliches, oh, just trust God. Oh, that'll really help everybody. Just hang in there. That's a good one. How about, why don't you just decide to practice the miraculous? Why don't you just take a little pause in your heart and just say, Lord, what would You like to say to this person? You know, just bring it down. Just bring it down where it's very practical. It's not all spooky. It's not all, and all this kind of stuff. It's just very natural. Lord, what would You like to say to this person? And there's a realm called the speaking gifts. I'll tell you another area He'd like to do. He'd like to reveal something. He'd like to reveal. If the Holy Spirit were going to manifest, He'd like to reveal what? He'd like to reveal the will of God. He'd like to reveal the wisdom of God, the direction of God. So we have another category called the revelation gifts. We've covered these. So the speaking gifts are tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. And you're welcome to look back in your notes. What are the revelation gifts? Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Remember that? So this is simply categorizations of how the Holy Spirit would like to manifest. He's going to say something to somebody. He's going to reveal something. And another thing, just like happened on Yong's trip there, power. He would like to express the power of God. And so there's that category called the power gifts. You remember what the power gifts are? The gift of faith, working of miracles, and gifts of healing. And so in that situation where Yon just, Jesus, I'm telling you what, that just touched my heart to hear her share like that. She just called on the name of Jesus. That lady was raised up from the bed of affliction. And that blood, that's just like a story right out of the Bible. That flowing blood was just stopped and she was raised up. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So this stuff, I'm trying to remove it from the religious. I don't know what your experience is with the gifts of the Spirit. Some people, it's not all good. I'll be honest with you. And they've been in a situation where somebody's, you know, embarrassed them or somebody's just gone crazy and acts real spooky. Jesus wasn't like that. You know, when Jesus ministered to the woman at the well, he didn't, you know, get that far away, charismatic look and start whipping his long hair around, you know, and doing all this kind of weird stuff. He just said, go call your husband. Well, that was revelation knowledge. Which one? And the lady says, I perceive thou art a prophet. Well, that's not a lot of perception at that point when a guy's nailing you like that. And Jesus is not doing that to embarrass you. He's just simply revealing something that the Holy Spirit has shown him. There's a manifestation taking place. What? To bring that woman into an intimacy with God. Amen? The true Messiah. So look at verse 7 again. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Underline this if you didn't mark it earlier. To profit all. He wants to bless you, profit you, benefit you, help you. You can say it any number of ways. And so certainly we believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for today. In fact, I don't believe anything of God has ever passed away. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so as soon as you cross that line and say, well, this isn't for today and that isn't for today, you just might as well get you an X-Acto knife and your Bible is going to have a Holy Bible. You're going to have a Holy Bible. I believe that God manifests today just like He did in days of old. Go to chapter 14. I want to show you something. And I'm switching gears now, so maybe in your notes, that was just a little review. I want you to write this subtitle down. I want to pursue this thought a little bit further. I want to look at the concept of practice the miraculous. And I want to show you some scriptural basis for this, where you've got to press into it. You've got to keep it stirred up. Some people say, well, you know, if the Lord, you know, twists my arm and makes me do it, I'll do it. Well, hello, anybody would do it if that were the case. You've got to yield, desire, want it. Look in chapter 14, 1 Corinthians 14, look at verse 1. Follow after love and what? Well, that was four of you. Follow after love and what? Everybody say desire. Well, that's up to you, isn't it? So you've got to want the manifestations. You've got to want to be used. How many of you would like to say something that would help someone else? How many of you would like to be used to reveal something of God to someone else? How many of you would like to reveal or manifest the power of God in someone else's life? That's all it is. Follow after love. If you love somebody, if you really do love them with the love of God, then you're going to want the gifts of the Spirit. Why? Because they are the very vehicles of God getting to that person. Follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, especially the speaking one called prophecy. Especially that one, because every day everyone needs encouragement. Now, the concept of practice the miraculous. Skip down to verse 18. A lot of these verses we've already covered. Those of you that are just joining us, you may think that I'm just kind of hopping around, but you've got to realize we've already had six sessions together. Look at verse 18. This is the Apostle Paul. He says, I thank my God, I what? Speak with tongues more than you all. So we know he was from southern Israel. Amen? You all. He said y'all. Well, that was humor. That was your opportunity to laugh right there. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Notice he did not say, I am embarrassed to report that I speak in tongues. He doesn't say, when I get worked up into a frenzy, when the worship team starts playing my favorite song, it just comes on me and I start speaking in tongues. The Apostle Paul, everyone say the Apostle Paul. Now how many believe the Apostle Paul knew God? If you didn't raise your hand, might as well just throw the Bible away because he wrote most of the New Testament. The Apostle Paul said, I thank my God. I'm thankful. I'm grateful. It's been a benefit. It's been a tool in my life. I thank my God. All you Corinthians that are out of order, and they were, and we've talked about that, they were not in proper order in using the gifts, and he's bringing order to them. But he says, all of y'all together, add up how much time this guy prays in tongues and this guy. Add them all up cumulative. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than all of you. Wow. Everybody say wow.
Wow.
Now say it backwards. Wow.
Wow.
Now, why do you think he did all that tongue talking? Why do you think he prayed in tongues and sang in tongues so much? Well, go to verse 14, right up the page. Because he knew that it was his spirit. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, circle it, it's not gibberish, it's not hype. If I pray in an unknown tongue, what? My spirit prays. Everybody say my spirit. Everybody say my spirit. Now I want you to remember that because we're going to come back to it in another passage where the human spirit, and I like the way the Amplified Version puts this, my spirit by the Holy Spirit is praying. So when I'm praying in tongues or singing in tongues, my human spirit, the eternal part of me that's God-like, created in the image of God, my spirit, by the Holy Spirit who's in me, is praying or singing to God. So Paul knew this. He knew this. He said, you know what? The spirit knows a whole lot more than my brain knows. The spirit knows more than my natural understanding. So I will pray with my understanding, but my understanding can only take me so far because my understanding doesn't know what to speak to others. My understanding doesn't always know what to reveal to others. And my understanding, and Young brought this out in her testimony, said, I don't know what to do. I'm paraphrasing her, but she basically said, I don't know what to do. What do I do? All I knew to do is Jesus, Jesus. She called him Jesus because her understanding did not know what to do. But the Holy Spirit knows what to do. Now go back to verse 18. Maybe you'll have some sense out of that. Where he says, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Now, it's obvious he was not doing that in the church services. Because look at the next verse, verse 19. Yet in the church. Everybody say in the church. Yet in the church I'd rather speak five words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. So in other words, to stand up and just start going off in tongues without interpretation, that's out of order and it's not going to help anybody. But I've got a question for you. If he said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all, where was he then doing all of that prayer and singing in tongues? Where? It wasn't in the corporate meeting. Where was it? It had to be in his private life. I mean, you can infer that. It had to be in his private life. Now, we're talking about developing the gifts further in your life. How many of you, regardless of where you're at, most of you have had a release of your prayer language. Some of you may not have had yet. And you will. You hang with me this Sunday and next Sunday. And if you have a desire, you will have a release of your prayer language. Is that a good deal? That's better than a Happy Meal deal right there. Amen. And there is a prize in the box. Hallelujah. And this one you will not throw away. It'll be a gift, an eternal gift. But if he wasn't doing it corporately, why then was he doing so much prayer and singing in tongues in his private life? Because, go back to verse 14, he knew there was a hookup between the ability to pray with his prayer language and his spirit. Verse 14, for I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. That is, I don't know what I'm saying. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit. Everybody say, I will. Everybody say, I will. Everybody say, I will. Everybody say, I will. Four times in verse 15 he says, I will. Or I shall, depending on what version you have. It never says when I feel led. He never says when it comes on me. He never says when they play my favorite song in E minor. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with the understanding also. Now, why was he praying in tongues so much in his private life? Because there is a connection between that and the miraculous. Write this down if you didn't get it in one of our previous sessions, or maybe write it down anyway just to reinforce it. The speaking gifts will take you to the revelation gifts. I am telling you, I proved this true in my own life. The speaking gifts will take you to the revelation gifts. I am not saying you'll never have a revelation gift otherwise, but you're more apt to flow in word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits if you are utilizing the speaking gifts. The speaking gifts are kind of like the starter kit. You got to get the starter kit. I want the advanced kit. You've got to have the starter kit. Oh, I want to drive the bulldozer. Do you know how to use a hammer? No. Well, we sure ain't going to put you on a bulldozer unless you know how to use a hammer. So if you want to be in construction, you're going to learn from the ground up. Here's the hammer. Here's the proper way to use the hammer. You're going to learn to use the saw, the power saw, the skill saw. And then one day we might put you on the bulldozer. But if we put you on the bulldozer, you'll make a mess of things, and a lot of people have concerning the gifts of the Holy Spirit, haven't they?
Wow.
Yes. Driving bulldozers around, running over people. And in the name of the Lord, in fact. Verse 18, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. So watch this. Here's one key to practicing the miraculous and keeping it active in your life. Pray and sing in the Spirit throughout the day. Now, in a moment, I'm going to give you a list of things, and I'll be repeating that, but I'm just giving you a head start here. One of the keys that we can infer from Paul's life is that he was a praiser. He was a singer. I referred to that in Acts 16 before we got into the teaching mode here, where at midnight, it says, Paul and Silas lifted their voice and began to praise God. I mean, this man knew the connection between practicing the miraculous and praying and singing in the Spirit. Praying and singing in the Spirit. Oh, Pastor Jason, that's just your opinion. Go to verse 37. Have I got a verse for you or what? Chapter 14. I'm still in chapter 14, verse 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual. Now, if I went around the room, of course, you're humble enough to not to raise your hand, or smart enough, I should say. How many of you are spiritual? Nobody raised your hand. I'm humble. But a lot of you, sitting there, no, I'm pretty spiritual. I know the Word. So this is for you. Look at verse 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the suggestions of the Lord. Is that what your Bible says? Everybody say commandments. Everybody say commandments. Well, go back to verse 1. What is one of the commandments? Follow after love and desire spiritual gifts. Now, how people can just say the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not for today and read verse 37, I have no idea. He says, the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. That's just a nice way of saying, if you want to be stupid, be stupid. That's the way Pastor would have said it, but he said it a little bit better. Verse 39, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy. Look at verse 39. Desire, covet, want to prophesy to help others, and forbid not to speak with tongues. So even with all their out-of-order problems, he still said, we're not forbidding tongues because there is a connection. Look at verse 14 again. Go back to verse 14. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. So please don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. 2 Timothy. Go with me to 2 Timothy. Are you learning something? I'm trying to help you practice the miraculous. I don't know everything, certainly, about the gifts, but what I do know, I'm endeavoring to pass along to you. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Make sure in 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm pursuing this thought, the concept of practice, the miraculous, because that's foreign to a lot of people. A lot of people are like, well, if a miracle shows up, I'll take it. What do you mean practice the miraculous? That's God's business. You can't practice the miraculous. Oh, yes, you can. You can position yourself to catch the ball. You can position yourself to catch the ball. He's the one that throws the ball, but you can get in position to catch the ball. And so if quarterback Jesus has dropped back in the pocket and he's looking for his receiver. Everybody say receiver. Receiver. Are you a receiver? Go ahead, Jesus. Make me do it. A receiver has his hands open. A receiver is looking. A receiver is dodging the traffic. A receiver is getting in the open. A receiver is positioning himself for the miracle pass. Quarterback Jesus drops back. He's looking. He's covered. He don't want it anyway. There's one in the back. Boom. There goes to Mr. Dick back there. Miracle pass. Catch it. Practice the miraculous. 2 Timothy chapter 1, look at verses 6 and 7. Paul's exhortation to Timothy. He says, wherefore, I put thee in remembrance. Everybody say remembrance. Everybody say remembrance. Now look at me. Some of you, as you sit here, you've heard this before. I am putting you in remembrance. Verse 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou, please underline this, stir up the gift of God. Everybody say stir it up. Everybody say stir it up.
Crank it up.
Now, listen, I grew up in the Presbyterian Church, and we would have, that don't sound high church to say stir up. We wouldn't have there said stir it up. Certainly wouldn't have said crank it up. That's just not dignified. That sounds Pentecostal to me, you know. Stir it up. Well, brother, that's some people stir it up and others don't, you know. Yeah, it's obvious. Everybody say stir it up.
Stir it up.
Everybody say crank it up.
Crank it up.
You ever had chocolate milk and you mix it together and you stir it up and you let it sit for a while? And all the sweet stuff drops out to the bottom. And before you drink it, you got to do what? You're going to stir it up again. You ever seen a fireplace start to go down a little bit? Oh, it's such a nice warm fire. You're so cozy until the fire starts to die down. And you got to go poke it. You got to stir it. You got to stoke it. Everybody say stoke it. Everybody say stir it. Everybody say crank it. Tim's loving this. He loves this stuff. That's your lingo, isn't it?
Yeah.
This guy, man, he used to wear all black leather and have long hair. And man, he was a mean dude till Jesus got hold of him. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Look at verse 6. Stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. He says to Timothy, Timothy, let me tell you something, son. I've been an apostle a whole lot longer than you've been around. And one thing I've learned about Timothy, it doesn't matter what was imparted to you way back yonder. When I laid hands on you, that was wonderful then, but you got to stir it up to keep it going. I'm paraphrasing, but that's the gist of what he's saying. You've got to stir it up to keep it going. Now, I will tell you one thing I learned in my travels, and I realize you don't teach doctrine out of experience, but your experience should reflect biblical principles. Amen. And I know in my traveling for 20 years, there was times I was so weary. If you've never traveled in a job or an occupation, you maybe don't understand this. But if you have, even in business world, I mean, traveling is not fun. It's fun for about a month. You know, it's like, hey, I'm going to see the world. I'm going to eat out and all this kind of stuff. And after about a month, it's just like, man, give me home. There's no place like home. Where's Toto and all of them? You know, I want to go home. Everybody say home. And so often I'd be so weary. I mean, I would fight, you know, flying an airplane as a pilot many times. I mean, I'd be fighting thunderstorms and going around weather situations. And by the time I got there, you know, I'd fought hell itself, I felt like. And then I'm supposed to be fresh for the meeting. And there were times in my room, I didn't even want to go to the meeting and I was the speaker. Don't look at me so holy. There's times you wake up too and you don't want to go to church or you don't want to do this or do that. And your flesh gets tired. And it's like, man, I don't even want to go to my own meeting. Let's call them up, put the tape in, you know. Some of that's just survival mode. I mean, that's your job, so you're going to go, you know. And I learned the key, watch this, of stirring it up. I learned that before I would go, I'd be getting ready in my room, putting my tie on, buttoning my shirt and all this stuff, you know. I'm stirring it up. I'm doing what Paul said. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. I'm prophesying. My son, I want you to know. And the Lord would many times, so often, tell me what was getting ready to happen in the service. He would give me the altar call before I ever got there. I already knew ahead of time what was going to happen. I mean, I had advanced revelation knowledge. Speaking gifts, revelation gifts, power gifts. Why? I learned to stir it up. Which means you have to say no to flesh. Everybody say no flesh.
No.
Well, that's kind of wimpy. Everybody say it like you mean it. Everybody say no flesh.
No flesh.
You don't talk to an old mean dog. No dog. You'll be missing a finger. No dog. Hey. No dog. You say, no flesh. Yes, God. No flesh. Yes to God. And you learn how to do exactly what he said. You stir up the gift of God that is within you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Go back to 1 Corinthians and go to chapter 2. You learning something? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to have to hasten. That's King James Version for hurry up. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want to just hit this passage, and really I could spend a whole session on this. This is really talking about the dynamics of what happens when you start practicing the miraculous. And let me just kind of motion or act this out. Everybody put your hand on your chest. Everybody say, the Holy Spirit,
desires
to manifest. Now put your hands up here in my understanding. Everybody say, the Holy Spirit, desires to manifest in my understanding. Now you're going to see this in this passage. Look at verse 9, chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Amen. But God has revealed them unto us by His what? Now you need to, you see, there's revelation. The Holy Spirit wants to reveal what your eye and your ear can't naturally get. In other words, through the normal five senses, I can't comprehend what God has for me. But the Holy Spirit's job is to come and show me. Verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except, underline this, the spirit of man. There's the human spirit. The spirit of man which is in him. Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. So notice in that one verse you've got two spirits. You've got the spirit of who? God. And you've got the spirit of who? Man. Now put your hands up like this. Everybody put your hands up. Everybody say, my right hand represents God's Holy Spirit. Everybody say, my left hand represents my human spirit. All right, now join them together, and that's what happens at salvation. At salvation, you become a new creature or creation in Christ. Old things have passed away, all things have become new. Now, the Holy Spirit, you've got to wiggle them fingers. Everybody say, the Holy Spirit knows all, sees all. And the way He communicates is He attempts to pass that along to your spirit. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit praise. So the Holy Spirit desires to pass that along to your spirit, and then both of them are now beating in harmony, and they are designed to bubble up into your understanding. So finally, bang, it comes into your brain, and you see what God knows. Amen. You do a little percolating. You do a little percolating, like the old percolator. Maxwell House Coffee. Hallelujah. Remember that old percolator? This is before drip coffee. This is before the drip come along. And I could take off on that with some Christians, but I will not. The percolating mode. You got to get in the percolating mode. I'm going to practice the miraculous. How am I going to practice the miraculous? I got to plug in. I got to get the juice flowing. And shit, I'm going to sit and start percolating a little bit. And before long, my brain gets enlightenment. And I know ahead of time what the altar call is going to be. I know now what I'm supposed to say to that person. I know now how I'm supposed to approach my child. Where I've tried all the principles that the books say, and now the Holy Spirit's showing me what to do. Amen. Listen, this stuff is not just for the four church walls. In fact, the majority of what we're talking about needs to be happening out there. You people in business, man, you need to be praying in tongues over your business and cranking it up and just getting God's blessing on it. Those of you who need a job, you don't know where you're supposed to be, just start cranking it up. God will start showing you. Raising your children. I mean, this is for everyday living. Look at verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. Somebody say, thank God. But the Spirit which is of God. Underline this in verse 12. That, here's the purpose, that we might know. There's the knowledge. He finally got to get it up into your brain. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Hallelujah. Freely. Freely. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Quickly, verse 16, I'm going to just jump down there. He says at the very end there, you ought to mark this, but we have the mind of Christ. So watch this. If I learn how to yield to the Holy Spirit, I can tap into the mind of Jesus. Doesn't mean I'll have all knowledge, but it means the Holy Spirit can help me understand what Jesus already knows. How many of you believe Jesus is ever caught by surprise? Put your hand down. How many of you believe Jesus is ever caught by surprise?
that.
Never caught. Okay, never. He's never caught by surprise. You were caught by surprise. Do you feel on the spot at this point? There's never been a time where Jesus is like, I don't know what to do. Quickly, let me go back up and have a huddle with the Father and the Holy Spirit. What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? Jesus knows what to do. I'll be caught by surprise. I'll be caught not knowing what to do. But watch this. If I can tap in, go back to verse 12, to what verse 12 says, the Holy Spirit will show me how to get those things freely given by God. Amen? Now, I want to give you a quick list. I want you to write these things down. I want to give you a list of how to practice the miraculous. How to practice the miraculous. 7 keys for practicing the miraculous. Some of these things we've covered, some are new. And some of these we'll look at verses, some I'll just allude to them, and you can write them down. Number one, and I said it earlier, the first key for practicing the miraculous is exercise the speaking gifts daily. Exercise the speaking gifts daily. Why? As I said, I've learned the speaking gifts will help you jump to the revelation gifts, and if you'll act on the revelation gifts, they'll take you to the power gifts. Exercise the speaking gifts daily. Number two, second key for practicing the miraculous. Become sensitive to impressions from the Holy Spirit. That's the best way I know how to say it, that word impressions. Become sensitive to impressions from the Holy Spirit. I want to give you a verse for this one, but we'll not turn there. John 16, verse 13. It says, when the Holy Spirit comes, He will speak to you the things that I'm telling you, so I'm paraphrasing, and He will show you things to come. Now watch this. There are times in our life where the Holy Spirit speaks. There's times when He shows. There's times when He just impresses. And you just kind of have a feeling of a sense of what you're supposed to do. There's times you'll actually hear words in your heart and in your mind. And it's not like something you're making up. It's something that just comes in there. Case in point. We just moved in this week to our new home. Hallelujah. And I believe by faith we'll get unpacked. Hallelujah. Now, when we first looked at this home, I'll be honest with you. When we walked in this home, I thought, this is a very nice home, but I don't think there's any way we could get it. That's what my natural thinking was. And we were walking around, and I remember the exact place I pointed out to Ryan yesterday, right at a certain door that goes out on the deck. I was standing there thinking, it'd be nice, you know, but I don't think we can get this home. And I heard, not me thinking to myself, just like something injected into my consciousness, I heard what I now know to be the voice of the Holy Spirit because it's played out. And I heard this voice in me say, would you like this home? And I thought back, yeah, I'd like this home, but I don't think we can get this home. And the Holy Spirit said, I'll give it to you. And all of a sudden, I know how to smell a miracle now. I mean, there's something cooking. Everybody say there's something cooking. Now listen, you know, you get to the point where you learn just to wait. If nothing's happening, just wait. But if you start smelling a miracle, follow the aroma. I know I'm just teaching kind of in plain vernacular here, but it gets it across. You smell the miracle, follow the aroma. And I said, well, Lord, I'd like this. And the Lord had been speaking to me about David and how David had blown it with Bathsheba. And when Nathan came and challenged him, the Lord said through Nathan, you know, I'm paraphrasing, why did you do this? Don't you know I would have given you anything? Anything. I mean, if you were bored, why didn't you just get another project? I would have given you anything. Why did you have to do this and bring disgrace on the whole nation? And the Holy Spirit was kind of using that verse about the way the King James says, I could give you such and such. That's exactly what the King James says. How many of you want that verse so you can look it up when you get home? Three of you? How many of you want that verse so you can look it up? All right, write this down. I'm going to give you the such and such verse. Sometime I'm going to preach a message called such and such. All right, here it is. 2 Samuel 12, verse 8. 2 Samuel 12, verse 8. The Holy Spirit said to David, I would give you such and such. We would say it this way, I can give you whatever you want. So as I sat there and I thought, the Holy Spirit, I thought, well, I'd like to have this house. And the Holy Spirit says, I can give you the such and such miracles. Now, that had come out of my quiet time, which is another point down the line here about how to listen to God and follow God. And as it played out, we've got it, and Robbie and Pam, they're painting the house, and my son Ryan's been working with them this summer, and they've been doing a great job. I'd recommend their business. Anybody that needs painting done, they've got a tremendous business, commercial, a little plug there, amen. Commercial painting and residential painting. And that's one thing we need to do in this church. As this church develops, we need to utilize one another in the different businesses in here. And I'll just tell you this right now. The next time we put the directory out, I'm going to add a page or two in the back. And if you have a business, you can have that listed there. And we can just cross-utilize what God has brought in our midst. Do you like that? Amen. Now, we're not going to do business on church property, but we want to network with one another out there. Amen. Quickly write four sub-points down. We're talking about becoming sensitive to impressions from the Holy Spirit. I want to give you four sub-points. Be sensitive to scriptures that are quickened to you. That's one way the Holy Spirit will speak to you. Scriptures that just kind of float up into your consciousness. Number two, be sensitive to something that you hear. That's the best way I know how to put it. Be sensitive to something you hear. It could be a word, a phrase, or as I just described, just several sentences that you just... that impressed into you. Number three, become sensitive to something you see. Sometimes, you know, you don't hear it, but you'll see kind of a mental picture come into your mind. And number four, be sensitive to something you know. So number one was become sensitive to scriptures. The Holy Spirit likes to quicken scriptures because the sword of the Spirit, which is the what? Word of God. Number two, become sensitive to something you hear, words, phrases, sentences. Number three, something you see, a mental picture that comes to you. And number four, become sensitive to something you know. You just know that you know that you know. How do you know? I don't know, I just know. That's probably a word of knowledge that's taking place. All right, main point number three. You getting something out of this? Seven keys for practicing the miraculous. Number three, pray that you may interpret your prayer language. Pray that you may interpret your prayer language. Now, I'll give you the reference there, but for the sake of time, we won't turn in there. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 13. We've already covered this in a previous session. But Paul plainly says, he that prays in an unknown tongue, let him pray that he may interpret. So there are moments in my life, it doesn't mean you'll always get an interpretation, but there's moments in my life that as I'm praying and singing in the Spirit, I need to at least be aware of the fact God may want to come right back around and give me the interpretation right then. Why would I want that? For my mind to receive understanding. And that's one of the keys, you see, of practicing the miraculous. Practicing the miraculous. So number three, pray that you may interpret your prayer language. Number four, key number four, understand the link between praise and worship and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Oh, there's a big link. Understand the link between praise and worship and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let me put it to you another way. If you're not a praiser and a worshiper, you're probably not going to flow in the gifts of the Spirit as much as you could have otherwise. Turn that around to the positive. If you'll become a worshiper and a praiser, and I'm not talking about just going to a church service. If you become a worshiper and a praiser in your private life, you're more apt to have the gifts of the Holy Spirit start popping in your life. Scripture will not turn there, but write this down. 2 Kings 3, verses 14 and 15. Some of you will remember this story, a guy named Elisha. And Elisha was supposed to give a word to this king that he didn't really like. And basically what Elisha said was, you know, I don't even want to look at you if you want to know the truth. You read that story sometime and he's pretty bold. He said, you know, I didn't like you. Why would I want to prophesy to you? But another king kind of impressed him. No, we need to hear from God. And so Elisha ain't in the mood. Everybody say he's not in the mood. So I just put it to you that way. He's not in the mood to prophesy. And you know what he says? He says, all right. Bring me a minstrel. Everybody say, bring me a minstrel. We put it this way. Bring me a person who knows how to worship God. Bring me a Hosanna CD. Bring me a Resurrection Band CD. Tim liked that one. Bring me Petra. Bring me somebody who knows how to sing to God. And I'll get in the mood. Amen. There's a connection between praise and worship and the miraculous. I have seen this time and time again, as I said, so many times, been weary. I mean, you don't go to your meetings as a guest speaker and they introduce you, and now, the man of faith and power, Jason Peebles. Folks, I ain't feeling too good. I had a hard trip over here. I hope y'all take a big offering for me because I'm in real need. No, you don't do that. You come up there in faith. And there's been so many times that I've been standing at my seat getting ready to be introduced as the guest speaker. And I'm tired and I'm weary. But I mean, when the praise starts, when the worship starts, man, something in me just leaps. It's my spirit responding to spirit. The Holy Spirit in me is starting to move and my mind is becoming more attuned to what He might say. And before I get up there, I am charged up. It's like somebody has put jumper cable on me. I've been jump started. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Understand the link between praise and worship and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Number five, keep a record of your daily devotions. Oh, very important. Keep a record of your daily devotions. And some people use the word journaling. And by journaling, we do not mean automatic handwriting. We mean simply recording things from the Scripture that the Holy Spirit is impressing on you. Put a star by number five, please. Because I believe that is the main way for you to hear God. It's dangerous, and you've heard me say this, it's dangerous when you elevate the gifts of the Holy Spirit above God's Word. Because the Holy Spirit will never speak to you something that is contrary to the already revealed will of God. And that's where a lot of people get into trouble. And I'm just going to hit this and run, but I have seen people get so engrossed in the prophetic. And there is a place for the prophetic. There are modern day prophets, so I understand that. But they get so engrossed in the prophetic, Linda, could I just use your notebook there? That their prophecy notebook becomes more worn than their Bible. Everybody say, uh-oh. Look at your neighbor and say, uh-oh. See, you just messed up. You're not writing another book of the Bible here. You're simply recording things that the Holy Spirit shows you. Now, the positive side to doing this is that as I keep track of what the Holy Spirit is showing me along the way, then I can go back and review that. And there's been many times somebody said, what do you think about thus and so? And what would be your advice? I say, hold on, let me go back and see what the Lord's been saying to me. Okay, let's see. Monday, I wrote that down. I didn't have it Tuesday. I missed Tuesday. Wednesday, okay, here's something the Lord showed me. And how far back would you like to go? They go back about a month here? 2 months? How far do we want to go back? Instead of, oh man, you should have been there. Preacher preached a good sermon today. What did he talk about? Oh, I'm telling you, made the hair on the back of my neck stand up. Well, what did he say? I mean, the anointing was so thick you could have cut it with a knife. What did he say? I can't remember. Get the tape. Have you ever been there? God spoke to you so mightily. What did He say? I can't remember. So write it down. Number six. Watch for opportunities to minister and use the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Watch for opportunities to minister and use the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, mind you, you don't have to tell them that you're getting ready to use the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to get that Pentecostal look on your face. Charismatic fofo. You can just stand there in a normal, controlled fashion, and on the inside you are yielding to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so instead of just quickly throwing out a cliche, well, praise God, just have more faith. Like that's supposed to cure everything. You just stand there and you say, I'm thinking, I'm listening. Well, what do you think? I'm listening. Just a word, a phrase. And then you are moving by the Holy Spirit versus flesh. Paul said, I have no confidence in the flesh. Are you learning anything? These are ways to practice the miraculous. Watch for opportunities to minister and use the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Number seven, which leads us, by the way, into our next session next Sunday. Number seven is this. Don't be afraid of making mistakes. Learn from them. Don't be afraid of making mistakes. Learn from them. Pastor, will I make any mistakes in the realm of the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Oh, yes. But let me just say this. You'll make mistakes in school. You'll make mistakes in your marriage. You'll make mistakes raising your children. And so if you're looking for a mistakeless environment, you'll have to die and go to heaven. And we don't want to get another boatload for that group, see. Don't be afraid of making mistakes. Learn from them. Now, next Sunday, I'm teaching on how to prove and test what you think is from God. So here you are pressing in to be used by God. I'm going to give you some information on how to prove and test what you think is from God. I've missed it. I have missed it big time many times. I remember one time, this really wasn't necessarily the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It was just, I guess, observation. I'm going up and down this line praying, hallelujah. I'm the guest speaker, the man of faith and power for the hour. People are falling over. People are getting slain in the Spirit. And there's this guy and this girl standing there massaging each other's back. I mean, it's like they're having a little session right there. I'm like, that's disgusting. Right in my prayer line, you know. And so I just bite my tongue and I go on down the line. I come back and then has arms around her. And they're just all over teenagers. And I'm like, I'm about to deck somebody here. I'm going on down the line, you know. No respect for God. Hallelujah. I come up and I'm glad I kind of said it privately. And I have a habit of doing this. If I feel like I'll kind of reach back here and flip my mic off. And I'm glad I did it because my mistake was only known to them. Amen. I said, take your hands off of her. Quit doing that right now. What are you doing? And the guy went like shocked. He said, well, she's my sister and God's just given us a great breakthrough in our family. I'm like, hallelujah, keep doing it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I tell you, I've missed it. Learn from your mistakes. Amen. Amen. Everybody say, there's hope for me. Everybody say, God loves me. God can use me. Mistakes and all. Amen. Let's stand up. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. Father, we thank you so much that you would entrust us with your very presence. Lord, you're not looking for perfect people.